call your attention. I'll read a couple of verses and I'll say a few things about this chapter, and then I'll just give you a few thoughts tonight. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." In verse 3, "And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." The latter part of that verse is where I would like to draw your attention to tonight. David said, there is but a step between me and death. Father, would you help us as we look into your word tonight? God, Lord, how I need you, and these people need you. We need to hear from your word. We need something from you. Would you speak to our hearts? Oh, God, help us for your sake, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You've got any knowledge at all about the Bible and biblical history, you understand that David and Jonathan were the best of friends. David and Jonathan, they were such a friendship that they had, it was closer than a brother, as if they loved one another. In this chapter that's previous, in chapter 19, we find that Saul had rejected David, Saul being at that time the king of Israel, knowing that God had anointed David, and that David would one day be the king. Saul, knowing that he had a desire for his own son to sit on the king, but yet, because of his rebellion and his heart's problems with God, God rejected Saul. But in chapter 19, we see that Saul rejected David. And as he did so, he expressed his desire in chapter 19. You can see in the very first first verse of chapter 19, that he said to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. So not only did he reject him, but he expressed his desire to kill David. David was, if we were to read the account, he was protected by Jonathan. He was protected by Saul's daughter, Michelle. And he was also protected by Samuel. When we come to chapter 20, David knows that Saul wants him killed. David expresses this concern to his friend Jonathan, who, as I said, was Saul's son. David and Jonathan throughout this chapter, in chapter 20, they devise a plan that David is going to go away, and he tells Jonathan, he says, "You tell your dad when I'm missing at the supper table tomorrow, you tell him that I had to go to Bethlehem for a yearly sacrifice." And he said, "By his response, you'll know that he's angry toward me." And he said, if he's angry to me, they devised a plan how that Jonathan would reveal this to David, and it would be that as David went away, he would hide himself. And when Jonathan found out David's or his dad's desires toward David, then Jonathan would reveal these desires to David by shooting 3 arrows in the field. And as he shot the arrows, he would give instructions to a lad that would be with him. And if he said, "Isn't get on this side, come back. He said, then you know you can come. He said, but if I say to the lad, it's brother, he said, you know, it's time for you to leave and flee. And if you were to read chapter 20, you would find these facts out. And so what takes place is, just to give you the story, Jonathan reveals on the second day to his dad Saul that he had given liberty to David to go back to Bethlehem. And when he did so, Saul even tried to cast a javelin at his own son and kill him. And so Jonathan knew that he truly wanted to kill David. And so he went to the field and he shot the arrows far. And he told his servant, his lad with him, he said, their brother, and he went to get them. And then he sent the lad with the arrows. He said, you take them back to the city. And as the lad went before him, David rose up and Jonathan met David. They had a time of friendship there, of expressing their desires and things toward one another. And Jonathan told him he needed to leave and David fled. Well, as we would read that in chapter number 20, back in verse 3, we see that David already knew this. David revealed to Jonathan that he was aware that his life could be taken from him at any moment. David said that in verse 3, we read it. He said, as truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David knew that death, could we say, was right around the corner. David knew that he could enter the realms of eternity instantly and imminently. David knew that Saul wanted him dead. David, thus, because of what he knew, he was not willing to walk flippantly. He was not willing to act carelessly, but rather he was using wisdom and discernment in how he lived his life, how he walked, and how he conducted himself, thus the plan that he and Jonathan devised. He knew that since Saul was desirous to kill him, that he was not going to be a fool and march himself up to Saul's table flippantly, carelessly, without regards to Saul's desires. And as I've thought about this, as I've read this, my mind raced over to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 15, where the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not wise, but wise, he's teaching us. We're to walk circumspectly. And as I have read these verses and as I've pondered on David's thoughts and what he expressed to Jonathan, that he said, there's but a step between me and death. Understand, the Bible says that our steps are numbered. And he said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you understand that what David's saying is, hey, if I take the wrong step, it could be my last step on this earth. And thus he was going to apply his heart to wisdom. The New Testament book of James, the half-brother Lord Jesus, James wrote in James in chapter number 4, in verse number 13, and he said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. There's some people that make plans without regard, without even thought of what may take place. They just think life is never going to end. And he said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. James said, what is your life? It's even a vapor. James said, it's like here today and gone tomorrow. Your breath is like the steam rising on the pot. It's like the cloud that rises in the morning, and as soon as the sun hit it, that foggy cloud, boom, it's gone. James compares that to our life. David has told us in 1 Samuel that he knew that he was but a step from death. He said, there's but a step between me and death. I wonder at times if we've ever stopped and considered the fact that there may be but a step between us and death. Some of you have some age on you. Some of you not so old. But in just the last couple of weeks, I've been a witness, and I've been around some people that have lost elderly folk. I've been around some folk that have lost young folk to death. Within the media, what we would look at as famous people. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen numerous people step out into eternity. They had money. They had popularity. They had what the world would think what was living all was about. But they died, what we would say, prematurely. I say to you, you won't die prematurely. You'll die exactly when God calls your number. You need to be reminded that there is but a step between you and death. Many are making plans for the next year. Are you listening? Are you listening? Many are making plans for the next year as if they're going to live forever. Many are making plans for tomorrow like it's definitely going to be there. I just want to remind you, tomorrow may not happen for you in this life. You may not wake up in the morning. You may not make it home tonight. If you make it home and you go to bed, you may not wake up in the morning. Just to be a little transparent, use a family illustration. I was 4 years old when my dad was 29 and he went off to work. He told my mom goodbye. He was on his way to work. He went to work. He had everything on his mind and in his plans. He was coming home and celebrate his daughter's 8th birthday. He went to heaven before he ever made it home. You don't know you got tomorrow. There's but a step between you and death. The next step you take could be the last step you take on this earth, and you could take your next step if you're saved on a street of gold. But if you're lost, you could take your next step into a lake of fire. And you need to be reminded tonight that there's but a step between you and death. David knew this. David, in the seriousness of the matter and in the wisdom that God had given him, he told Jonathan, he said, there is but a step between me and death. And thus, because he knew that, he chose his steps wisely. Circumspectly. Not unwise, but wise. And you and I, we need to learn to choose our steps wisely. We need to conduct our life in a manner as if we are living with the reality that we may not have tomorrow. And I just wonder, if we truly grasp this possibility, if we realize this truth, if it would help us to live with eternity in our mind. With eternity in our mind. I'm afraid we live with the temporal at the forefront of our mind because that's where we live. And it's so easy for us to see the temporal. It's so easy for us to see the right now. But would to God we would get a vision and not live for the right now, but live for the eternity that lies ahead. You're going to live forever somewhere. If you're lost, you're going to live forever somewhere. If you're saved, you're going to live forever somewhere. May God help us to live with eternity in view. eternity in view. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Ask you a question. If you gain the whole world, all the toys, what's it going to matter in eternity? A foolish man said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." May I remind you that the man with the most toys is still going to die. And I've never, no never, witnessed a U-Haul following a hearse. If we truly realize this, if we truly understand that we are one step from eternity, would it affect the way that we live our lives? Would it affect the way that we live our lives in regards to, let me give you a couple of things, and let me ask you this. If I thought truly that my next step could be my last step, would it change my life and the way that I lived it in regards to the Savior? In regards to the Savior. The one who loved me. The one who gave His life for me. Let me ask you this question. Are the things that you're living for worth Christ dying for? It's not original with me. Come from another preacher of yesteryears. But are the things that you and I live for every day, the things that we prioritize, the things that we make the most of, are the things that we're living for, are they worth Christ dying for? And we stop and think about that. And we ought to. And if I really thought and believed and grasped the fact that my next step could be my next and last step on this earth, would it change the way that I love the Savior? Would it change my relationship? Would it change the time that I spent with Him? Would it change the devotion that I had towards Him? Would it change the priority that He has in my life? If I thought that my next step, I could be standing in front of Him, facing Him, my Savior. Number two, let me say this and ask you this. If I really thought that my next step could be my last step, eternity is in my view, how would it affect my life in regards to myself? My life in regards to myself. And I'm dealing specifically right here in this point about your personal salvation. If you really understood the fact that you may not have another day, if God, the Holy Ghost, would bring the reality that your life could end tonight, how would it change the way that you went home thinking about yourself? And the Holy Ghost, He's sent to convict us of sin and to lead us and to guide us in all truth, but to bring us to a point that we realize that our sin deserves judgment and that Jesus Christ took your judgment. You don't have to die and go to hell. And if you realize that the next step, there's but a step between you and death. You don't know. A couple of years ago, lady I know, she's on her way to work one morning. She sneezes on the way to work. Are you listening to me? Perfectly healthy, middle-aged lady. She sneezes on the way to work. Thinks she has a pain shoot up her head. Thinks it's a headache. Goes to the hospital, finds out there's an aneurysm. She goes into a coma and never wakes up. Are you listening to me? It could be you. Some of you, God has been gracious. He's been merciful. He's given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And you still reject Jesus Christ. How would it change you if you realized there's but a step between you and eternity? You're going to step out into eternity one day, sir. Young person. Ma'am, you're going to step out into eternity one day. Let me caution you. There'll be no second chances. You better know that you know that you know that you're saved before you take that last step. Thirdly, let me ask this. Would it change you and I as Christians tonight if we realize that our next step could be our last step? Would it change the way I live my life in regards to my service? There's an old song that says, I was saved in my youth and I lived for the Lord. And then it talks about how I got away and I did this and that. And then it says, when I stand before the King in His judgment, I'm sure I wish I'd done more. Can I say to you tonight that this preacher being honest and transparent with you, as much as I love the Lord and want to serve Him with my life, I'm sure that when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, that I will wish I had done more. You cannot do too much for Jesus. I'm not working to be saved, but I ought to work because I am saved. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know this, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing. I remind you to keep on serving. Keep on keeping on. It'll be worth it. After all, it will be worth it. Say, I'm tired. Well, do like one preacher. You may be weary in the work, but never get weary of the work. God help us to be faithful. And then let me ask you this. My next step was my last step, and I knew it. Would it change my life? In regards to souls. In regards to souls. Every individual that you face daily, they're going to spend eternity in one of two places. Your friends, your family members, your co-workers, the people you like, the people you don't like, they're going to spend forever somewhere. There's no fantasy land. There's no purgatory. There's one of two places. There's a heaven to gain. And there's a hell to shun. Every individual that has ever lived is going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Don't answer this question. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you would I honestly sit here and say, I want somebody to go to hell? If you're saved, you ought not be able to say that. Let me just say this. If you don't want your family and your friends to go to heaven, don't ask them. Don't invite them. But if you want them to go to heaven, if you want them to escape hell, if you want them to enjoy eternity with you in heaven, invite them. You say, well, preacher, if I say something to them, if I try to give them the gospel and invite them to trust Jesus, I'm going to run them off. I got a crazy question for you. Where do you think you're going to run them to? They're already lost. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. We have a responsibility to tell them, to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel and the message of the gospel that can save individuals. It's the message of the gospel that can take your enemy and turn him into your friend because he believes the gospel. If you knew that your next step was your last step, who would you want to tell about Jesus before you slipped off into eternity? You got a family member? You got a son, a daughter? You got a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister? You got a co-worker? Somebody on your street? Somebody you work with? Say, I'll tell them tomorrow. Wait a minute. You may not have tomorrow. Oh, I'll tell them next week. I'll tell them next year. David said, truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Are you living with eternity in view? With eternity in view. With the fact, listen, I'm honest enough to believe this, that if we could peel back the veil and we could look into eternity tonight, if we could look into eternal heaven or we could look into eternal hell, I believe it would change our perspective on life. I believe it would change our priorities in life. I believe it would change and maybe it would wake us up and help us to see what really matters. And so my heartbeat tonight and the burden on me tonight is to try to somehow get you to understand what God has spoken to my heart about. Not just for 2017, every day of our life. Every day of our life as Christians, may we live with eternity in view. Eternity. The things we do here, these mundane things, hobbies and things that are fun, some of those, nothing wrong with them. But in eternity, they're not going to matter. In eternity, they won't be counted. The 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 talks about how there are some things that are wood, hay, and stubble, even in the service of the Lord. Wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to burn up at judgment fire. But there's other things that will be glorifying to God, and they will be gold, silver, and precious stone. And so I ask you tonight, the things we're living for, are they wood, hay, and stubble? Or will they be revealed in the fire to be gold, silver, and precious stone? Are we living with eternity in view? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the message. Speak to our hearts. And may your Holy Spirit of God challenge us, speak to us, examine us, go deep down into the crevices of our spirit, into our inner man. Put your finger in our hearts tonight and move around. Show us areas in our lives, Lord, where we need some adjustment. Maybe we need some confession. Maybe we need to repent. God, help us, especially as we begin a new year. Lord, how greater could we start the new year than to get things right with Thee and to glorify You with our lives? Individually and as a church, God, would You help us? You help us all to live with eternity in view. Speak to hearts tonight. Those that are lost, God, I pray you convict them and draw them. In Jesus' name. We're standing all across the auditorium, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.